Book Summary, Hushan, Rivers and Mountains: A Geographic History of China. By Shurjun. Part 1. Book Overview. Hushan, meaning Rivers and Mountains, is the latest major work by historian Shurjun, following his influential book The Hub, 3000 Years of China. It was published by Hunan Literature and Art Publishing House in March 2026. Shurjun holds a PhD in history from Peking University and is now a professor at the Institute of Global Civilizational History, Shanghai International Studies University. His earlier works include The Hub, Overflow, and Breaking the Cocoon. Hushan continues his signature grand history perspective, but with an entirely new angle. It interprets Chinese history through space rather than time, using mountains and rivers as the organizing thread. He spent 5 full years writing the book and personally visited more than 90% of the places mentioned in it, spending roughly a third of each year on the road. The book features more than 62 color maps drawn by a professional cartography team. Within a month of release, it sold over 100,000 copies and was recommended by public figures including Yu Minhong, Meng Man, and Ma Boyong. It holds a rating of 8.1 on Douban. It is an ideal read for anyone interested in historical geography, civilizational evolution, and big history narratives. Part 2. Key Insights. Insight number 1, geography is the invisible director of history. Shurjun proposes a provocative idea: geography is not the backdrop against which history happens, it is a core driving force of historical change. 50 million years ago, the Indian tectonic plate collided with the Eurasian plate, uplifting the Qinghai-Tibet Plateau and transforming atmospheric circulation across East Asia. This created the 400-millimeter isohyet, the line of equal annual precipitation. South of the line, farming was possible; north of it, only nomadic herding could survive. A single line carved out two ways of life, and with them, millennia of conflict and fusion between agrarian and pastoral civilizations. Insight number 2, Chinese history is the evolutionary story of multiple geographic blocks fusing together. We are used to telling Chinese history from a central plains perspective, but Shurjun argues this is far from enough. Chinese history was never the story of the central plains alone; it is an evolutionary history in which the plains, the steppe, the western regions, and the plateau collided with and merged into one another. What we call unification was in essence a long process of systemic integration, not eliminating differences, but accommodating them, organizing them, and endowing them with shared meaning at a higher level. Insight number 3, geography is fate, the story is fortune. Mountains and rivers set constraints that cannot be changed. That is fate, or Ming. But how a people understands those constraints, faces them, and narrates them is fortune, or Yun. To turn scattered populations into a community, shared geography alone is not enough; a shared story is also required. Through stories, people learn where they came from and why it is worth moving forward together. Insight number 4, the Great Wall is not a border but a center. The conventional view treats the Great Wall as a defensive line separating the plains from the steppe. Shurjun points out that from the perspective of China as a whole, the region along the wall is actually the center, because the mountain ranges it follows are precisely where the great geographic blocks converge. The bustling Tian horse markets at places like Zhangjiagou show that the wall did not separate the two sides, it connected them. Insight number 5, Chinese history has always been internal to world history. The Alpine Himalayan mountain belt strings together Eurasian civilizations, and China was never isolated from the world. The book ranges beyond Chinese geography to compare Eurasia and Europe, placing Chinese institutions and events in a global frame. Part 3. Chapter's Summary. Chapter 1, On the Qinghai-Tibet Plateau, describes how the collision of tectonic plates uplifted the plateau, creating multiple habitats: the plains, the steppe, the western regions, and the plateau. These diverse environments produced diverse peoples, forming the engine of Chinese historical evolution. With the Yellow River flowing east and the Yangtze racing along, China could never be singular. Chapter 2, Viewed from the Taihang Mountains, examines the Zhou-Qin transformation. The Taihang and Qinling ranges shaped the Zhou and Qin order. The old saying that whoever holds Guangzhou holds the world reflects the strategic value of mountain corridors. Using the Taihang as a cross-section, the author traces the geographic logic behind China's shift from Zhou feudalism to Qin centralized rule. Chapter 3, viewed from the Chilian Mountains, follows the expansion of the Han and Tang. The Chilian and Lupan ranges drove the opening of the Hoshi Corridor, letting Chinese civilization absorb influences from the western regions. Shirzhan stresses that the Hoshi Corridor is the only place that links all four blocks, facing east, the plains are before you, the western regions behind, the plateau on your right, and the steppe on your left. Standing there, one naturally feels that China is a far greater entity than the central plains alone. Chapter 4, viewed from the Yin Mountains, watches the upheaval of the five barbarians. The Yin and Helan ranges witnessed the grinding clash between farmers and herders along the 400-millimeter precipitation line. Shirzhan personally visited the ruins of Huishou, one of the Northern Wei garrisons, and found the terrain flat and open, overturning the textbook claim that it was easy to defend and hard to attack. From this he concludes that without standing on the ground, you can never truly read history. Chapter 5, viewed from the Yan Mountains, observes the Tangsong transition. The Yan Mountains and the Greater Xing'an Range drove the upheavals of the late Tang and laid the foundation for the Great Liao Dynasty. The rise of the Khitan and other powers along the Yan Mountains profoundly reshaped the political order of East Asia. Chapter 6 traces a single chain of mountains and rivers across the Mingqing transformation. The Greater Xing'an Range, Changbai Mountains, Yan Mountains, Yin Mountains, Chilian Mountains, Tian Shan, and the Altai together form a complete northern frontier, which finally integrated the diverse blocks into the unified Qing Empire, uniting Han, Manchu, Mongol, Hui, and Tibetan in an unprecedented synthesis. Chapter 7 turns to the sea and the modern transformation. In modern times, inland rivers yielded their primacy to the ocean. Southeast Asia became the hinge connecting China with the Western world, ultimately driving China's modernization. Globalization is rewriting the meaning of rivers and mountains. Barriers can become thoroughfares, and yesterday's geographic advantages can turn into limitations. Part 4. Notable quotes. Quote 1, mountains create difference, and difference creates the impetus for engagement. Rivers create connection, and connection creates the possibility of engagement. Quote 2, fate is set by heaven, fortune is made by ourselves. The constraints that cannot be changed are fate, how we understand and confront them is fortune. Quote 3, without standing on the ground, you will never truly read history. Quote 4, if you strip away the dynasties, the names, and the events, what remains of Chinese history? What remains is the rivers and mountains. Quote 5, rivers and mountains are not merely the stage of history, they are history's own author. Quote 6, the Great Wall was not built to separate the plains from the steppe. Seen from China as a whole, the land along the wall is the very center. Quote 7, Chinese history was never the story of the central plains alone, it is the story of the plains, the steppe, and the plateau, slowly fused together over millennia. Quote 8, what we call unification was in truth a long systemic integration, achieved not by eliminating differences, but by accommodating them at a higher level and endowing them with shared meaning. Part 5. Actionable takeaways. First, add a spatial lens to your temporal lens. When reading history, following the news, or doing research, beyond asking when something happened, ask where it happened and how geography shaped it. Many puzzles will suddenly become clear. Second, distinguish fate from fortune. When making major decisions, first calmly identify which constraints are unchangeable and which spaces remain open for you to create. Do not fight fate, spend your energy where fortune can be made. Third, use the multi-block framework to understand China. Regional economic disparities, the national unified market, and frontier governance can all be understood through the logic of colliding and fusing geographic blocks, rather than a single central plains perspective. Fourth, respect the power of shared stories. Whether for a nation, a company, or a team, cohesion does not come from eliminating differences, but from telling a story capacious enough to hold differences and shared by all. Fifth, leave the study and reach the ground. In any field, first-hand experience of the site cannot be replaced by second-hand materials. Without standing on the ground, you will never truly read history. Sixth, locate yourself in a larger coordinate system. Place China within Eurasia and the world, place your own position and your organization's situation within the currents of the age. Vision determines judgment. This concludes the summary of Hushan. Thank you for listening.